you so much. Hey, y'all, how you doing? Those who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, I hope you buckle in tight. It's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride. I may be using some terminology that you're not familiar with. Don't worry. I'll be here till tomorrow morning so I can explain everything in depth. It's a tremendous joy for me. It's a tremendous drag to fly to America. No offense. By the way, as a tour guide, I have found that the expression "no offense" is a uniquely American expression. When an American says to you "no offense," be aware, they have either just offended you or are about to. Here at my OAM family with Pastor Joe and Rebbetzin Heather, I'm going to get smacked for that remark later, but there are certain digs occasionally that are definitely worth it. Very rarely in a congregation am I prepped at the beginning with my pure energy drink and some slap your mama dressing later to put on for the just the right Cajun taste. Bless your hearts. I've been involved in this movement for a very long time. April of 1994, I began meeting people for the very first time who said to me, you know, I'm not Jewish, but I believe I'm part of Israel. That started an incredibly bumpy ride in my life. And to be honest with you, many times I have tried to run away. It's just been a little too strange. It's weird in society at large to get a vision and be put on a mission that other people just don't seem to care about. When the most prominent theme in the entire Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, among all the prophets, is the restoration of all of Israel. And I have to tell you something, though, a little bit of a warning. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. So when I still lived in America, which is up to the year 2009, I spoke at some conferences back in 2005, 2007, 2008. But it was only after going to Israel and becoming inspired to become a tour guide. Now, becoming a tour guide in Israel is a bit insane. It's a two-year course. So for 2 years, as a new immigrant, you're not working. You're taking out loans. And I was blessed with having to do the course in Hebrew. So for 2 years, now I'm not sure I would have understood geology a lot better in English, but in any case, because who else was going to be prepared to show Ephraim their homeland again? Now, when I use the term Ephraim, Ephraim is one of four names used in the Tanakh in the Hebrew Bible for those descendants of the northern kingdom of Israel. Again, if you're not familiar with this, I'll be happy over lunch and with a little bit of slap your mama, we can go over it. I'll be happy to show you and explain more. Ephraim, Samaria, Joseph, and Israel. Four names, same group of people. Southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, the Jewish people of today. That's your basic scorecard. And I began feeling the need to reach out to my brothers and sisters. Recently, in the Torah portion, we read about Joseph. Now, the one thing in the story that's often looked over is the fact that when his brothers were deciding what to do with him, you know, what a great family they had. Should we kill him? Should we sell him into slavery? Judah, Yehuda, the oldest brother, it was his responsibility to have settled the whole thing down. Y'all behave yourselves. He did not. So I was not going to allow being part of Judah, my brothers and sisters anywhere in the world, to ever feel that there wasn't a Jewish person out there willing to accept them without question. Amen. All based on mutual respect. I'm not trying to change you into me. Believe me, we already have enough confused Jews. No offense. But I've seen changes in this movement in the last number of years that I found very disturbing. And I want to share it with you. The movement began really thriving, and back in late 2016, beginning of 2017, in coming to the States, I delivered a presentation called For Such a Time as This. That famous quote from the Scroll of Esther, when Mordechai says to Esther, "You were brought here for such a time as this." And I proved in that presentation that more had occurred in the previous 3 years towards the restoration of all of Israel than in the previous 3,000. It was great. We had the Congress of B'nai Yosef in Israel 3 times. The number 3 comes up a lot. The formation of B'nai Yosef North America, groups in Europe and all over the world. I was invited to Sri Lanka to teach the Ephraimite community. By the way, there are people who believe, let me dispel this right from the beginning. There are people who believe, and I certainly don't want them to think that I believe this, people who think that every Christian is an Ephraimite. It's not true. Now, if you're wondering about, well, what about the Christian concept from the book of Romans of being grafted in? Maybe that's part of the whole thing. Maybe it's another way of describing it. I don't know, but I don't believe that every Christian automatically is part of Israel. Okay. Sri Lanka, the Ephraimite community there, had been Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists. Anyway, so all this great stuff is going on, and I almost immediately began getting a series of emails asking me, well, we've already done everything we need to do for the restoration, so where's the Messiah? What are we waiting for? What's he waiting for? And I was so busy addressing those things, which people didn't even realize how arrogant that was. We've already done everything we need to do? Really? Does your local congregation, is it thriving? Is everyone contributing all that they can? Right. Or is it just something of just assuming that the lights will be on when you show up next Shabbat? Yeah, we've done everything. Everything's cool. Yeah. If you remember Shaggy's song, yeah, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'm not the one setting up for Oneg. I'm not the one turning on the lights. I'm not the one tithing. I'm too busy tithing to Target and Walmart. What do you want from me? But there's a moment when sort of a movement crests, it reaches the top, and you don't realize at that moment that it's about to go downhill. With TV shows, they call it jumping the shark. It's like, you know, like Twin Peaks. Remember, it was the first year was amazing. People were having Twin Peaks parties. The second season kind of freaked out a little bit. Yeah, my frame of reference of TV and movies is a little older than most of you. Bless your hearts. You don't worry. You can catch it all on YouTube or Netflix. The core of the movement had been, the core focus had been Israel. That y'all are part of Israel along with your Jewish brothers and sisters. And the state of Israel was the center of that core. Think of a bicycle with spokes. Israel was the hub. Right there. And somehow, some way, in the last few years, that focus has kind of shifted. Astoundingly, it's not because people have been busy with their local congregations. Quite the reverse. They've just been going about their own business. So what we're going to do this morning is spend a little time trying to figure out why that happened, what the reasons are, and where we should be putting our time and energy as people who understand that we're part of Israel. Now, understand something, though. We're going to look primarily at four areas. The first, because I've tried to find out why it is that people are losing their mojo. That fire down below of Bob Seger. Maybe he wasn't referring to Israel. I don't know. And people, now people don't usually tell me the truth. But I've had other people ask, so it's come back to me. First reason they blame is the state of Israel itself. We'll discuss that. Then they blame American Jews. We're not more involved because of American Jews. Third, they blame their Christian relatives and neighbors. And fourth, they blame other Ephraimites, other congregations like this. So let's start right with the top. We're not supporting Israel as much anymore because Israel won't let us in. They mean as citizens. They've come to the understanding that they're part of the people of Israel in the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years. State of Israel, why won't you let me in? Who are you guys? We don't even know you exist. I know. We're a little distracted in Israel right now. Why? Well, in Lebanon alone, that little country to the north of us, there are 150,000 missiles pointing at us right now, provided by Iran. Y'all have heard of Iran. You Americans have been trying to ignore it for a long time. Yeah, since 1970s. Maybe if we just turn away, they'll just leave us alone. Maybe the bully won't keep beating us up for our lunch money. Most of those have now precision guidance systems. Those are the same type of missiles that the Iranians used recently against the American army base in Iraq. They can pick the buildings they want to hit. Why didn't America knock them down? Because America didn't have a way to defend against it. That's just in Lebanon. For the very first time, you know, our army, our military, the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, every year creates a risk, you know, assessment. And for the very first time in our history, Turkey, the nation of Turkey, not the bird, was placed on the list of potential threats. Not that we're expecting to go to war with Turkey in 2020. Now, Turkey, like Iran, is a large, powerful country. It's also a NATO country, by the way. So we've got a lot of things in Israel we're distracted with, if you will. We love our democracy so much in Israel, we decided to have a third national election this year. Bless our hearts. To prove the definition of insanity, that you could repeat the same event but expect a different result. There is no reason to assume that we'll be able to form a government in March after the next election. We have a prime minister, who y'all love because he speaks beautifully, who is a megalomaniac. He is only focused on himself and is trying to get an immunity deal. The security of our country is at risk because of his ego. Why won't Israel let us in? We don't have a criteria of citizenship for people who've come to understand through the study of Scripture that they too may be part of Israel. Because we're not willing to let God be God. Hashem himself promised that he would restore the people of Israel. He didn't say he was going to have the government of some country. And then you know what? People say, well, yeah, I want to go. They don't speak Hebrew. They speak Cajun, okay? That's close, but not quite. They don't speak Hebrew. They don't have a job or a career that they could transfer to Israel, nor do they have the savings that they could support their family while they're learning Hebrew. So how are you going to do this? So you're not all that serious about it. And 5 years ago, you were a hair on fire Baptist. you know, doing the whole waterboarding and all that stuff. Although I was an American, and I love America, I'm not at all politically correct. So I'm sure you'll pardon me for that. So Israel. Yeah. Why? There isn't a single member of the Knesset, 120 of them, who know that you exist. There had been Rav Yehuda Glick, and how do I know that he knew about you? Because I'm the one who told him. So we've got other things bubbling up. So why are you blaming Israel? So let's push that aside. American Jews. What do you want from American Jews? First of all, you say the American Jewish community as if there's one. Now, we Jews don't have 40,000 denominations like Christianity does. Give us time and ease up on the persecution, and I'm sure we'll develop that too. But you have to understand something. The vast majority of Jews in America, now, even the term American Jews, every other ethnic and racial group in America is called Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Black Americans. But why do we have American Jews? Because they're so paranoid that y'all don't think they're an American enough. They got to put that right out there in front. American. The vast majority of Jews in this country are Americans, liberal Americans, who by accident of birth were born of a Jewish mother. They haven't studied the Torah. They don't belong to a congregation. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. What do you want from them? Then there's a resentment that American Jews, particularly the ultra-Orthodox American Jews, the ones readily identifiable, who are being killed and beaten on a daily basis, particularly in the Northeast, in New York City, where I grew up, why don't they arm themselves? And there's a resentment. There's a resentment because Americans are all about their guns. You are. But I got to share something with you. So they say, well, why don't these guys arm themselves? How can, you know, we love, how can we be brothers if they don't, the ultra-Orthodox, why don't they arm themselves? Did you ever see the movie Straight Outta Compton? Yo, Dre, I got some, No. These guys are straight out of Poland. Seriously. They don't have smartphones because you can access the internet and, God forbid, see images that you're not supposed to see. They speak Yiddish, a dead language. Their secular education is on the level of third or fourth grade. And you expect them to walk around with a Glock? And even if they walk around with a Glock, what about all those people that were killed in Walmart in El Paso, Texas? I am willing to bet that there are more guns per person in the Republic of Texas than anywhere in the United States of America. So why were all those people killed? Because you don't send your granny to Walmart and then clear the aisles, you know, as you're walking down. You're not prepared for a firefight. Pick on Jews. What the American Jewish community doesn't realize, the American Jewish communities, is no matter how, and you know, they think it's just the ultra-Orthodox. They'll come looking for all of my co-religionists. They know. Whether it's Black anti-Semites, whether it's white supremacist anti-Semites, they're gonna, the time for the Jewish community in America is over. It's over. The world is changing around us. Let's leave the Jews alone for a minute. Let's pick on the Christians. People here say, well, I'm not as involved in this anymore because I'm waiting for my Christian relatives and neighbors to get their Hebrew roots. Okay, whether you call them roots or roots, it doesn't matter. You don't get them. No one here, you know, one day woke up and got their Hebrew roots. They studied it. They received the divine email and they responded. Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah. You know, when people in this walk, when they leave this walk, and you'd be astounded at the rate of that people are leaving this walk. They leave for they go off to one of three directions. A very, 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 very small number of them convert to Judaism. That causes people here in this movement to want to have their heads explode. Oh my God. And people like go crazy about it on the social media all the time. Excuse me. A much larger group are those who leave this and go back to part of their former life in the church. They like the fellowship. And for whatever reason, they don't seem to mind paying tithes in churches when they didn't pay them in their congregations here in the Hebrew roots, messianic believing, but whatever, whatever, whatever. You know what's funny? And here I quote my dear friend, brother, and mentor, Mike Clayton. Mike, who points out that when y'all were in the church, you were told that the entire law was done away with, except for tithing. And now you're in the Hebrew Roots movement, and you're told the entire law is in effect, except for tithing. How is that supposed to work? Well, it doesn't, yeah. And from the back of the room we hear, it doesn't, yeah. Your Christian relatives and neighbors may have gotten the exact same invitation that you did, and they have chosen not to RSVP. But the largest group, and this is the group that everyone listening to this message should be the most concerned with, are those who just become peeps for nothing. They just drop it all. I've met people at a wedding. A woman said, well, you know, I don't do Torah anymore. That's not like I don't watch the saints and cheer for them anymore. It's like I don't do Torah anymore. People who are out there advocating for Israel, fighting against the BDS, the boycott, divestment, sanctions. And by the way, you should understand what that is, BDS. People who are out there running around buying Israeli products. Oh, heck, selling Israeli products. All of a sudden, nothing? Absolutely nothing. Israel doesn't matter. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. With all the threats that I mentioned to you before that we in Israel are going to face, And there isn't a week that goes by that in the press a warning doesn't come out from either a current member of our military echelon or a former Mossad whatever that the next war is going to cause horrific damage on our home front command. Before I left Israel, my little apartment, I got to tell you, I've got the water stacked up. I've got the protein bars stacked up. I've got the dried fruits and nuts. It's going to be bad. But understand something. I am not here to call upon you to stand up for Israel, for us. This may be your last chance to stand up and be identified as part of the people of Israel. This may be your opportunity where you're called out and you have to decide which side of the line you're going to stand on. We will survive. The state of Israel will not be destroyed. Later I can show you in the prophets where I get that from. We may suffer tremendously, but we will continue to exist. Your existence, God forbid, is in danger. Let's add a fifth thing, America. It was Mike Clayton who pointed out to me a few years ago that with the election of President Trump, Americans were beginning to become complacent. And that's where a little of the fire down below began to dissipate. Because ultimately, it turns out that there were some people who were working for the restoration of all of Israel, but only because Barack Hussein Obama's America wasn't a great place to live. But now, there's Donald Trump. And Trump promises to make America great again. And in the last, and it, I could, yeah, almost from the time of his inauguration, a little bit of that fire. You know, people ask me all the time, what do you Israelis think of President Trump? We have no clue. We don't know what he's going to say tomorrow. Neither do you guys. You know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was saying, well, two-state solution, one-state solution, whatever you guys want, I don't care. The two-state delusion is something that the European Union and the United Nations cling to. You know, if you want a state for the so-called Palestinians, there's plenty of room in the Republic of Texas. I'm telling you, fly into Midland, Odessa, and drive to Abilene. That 2.5-hour stretch, build your Palestinian state. No one will ever find them. Palestinian state. Yeah, you know, people say, well, you're a tour guide. You know history. Was there ever a nation called Palestine, an independent country? And actually, I searched through them, and I found it. I found the map that indicates it. And it was located between Middle Earth and Narnia, right up there. I don't even laugh at my own jokes anymore, because it's so astounding to me that people are counting on, what they're saying is, President Trump is going to make things all better. And look, they say, he went and he pulled out of the Iranian nuclear deal. And then Iran knocked down American drones. Iran threatens American shipping. In the Persian Gulf, America doesn't say a word. Iran fires ballistic missiles at America's big shot ally, Saudi Arabia, knocks out 50% of their oil production. America doesn't say a word. Finally, America began acting like America and took out the head terrorist who was busy killing Americans. But as I travel around America, I watch your news. Not everyone in this country agreed with that. We're going to upset them. It was an illegal act. America is ripping itself apart. Don't you see that? For those who come to the understanding that they're part of Israel, I'm not saying don't be loyal to America. America is an amazing country. Culturally, I will always remain an American. I will always have the accent. Now you're thinking, I went in with Kyle and Chill to a Panera Bread, and the young woman there said, like, ah, I like your accent. So I once said, like, what accent? You want me to say, like, tomatoes, you know, you know, Troya beaten, December, you know, an accent. Y'all have accents. It's okay. It's okay. We were shopping in Walmart the other night, and I saw a package of alligator bits. So I thought that was like a euphemism. You know, like they're called, like, you know, like buffalo wings aren't wings of buffaloes. They're not, by the way. It's chicken. Yeah, alligator. Yeah, this is... Yes, Heather is going to teach me the recipe to make kosher boudin balls. Yep, we can get kosher sausage in Israel. They don't come from this little piggy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to calm down a little bit. So one is, people in this walk readily get distracted. And I imagine that Joe has to deal with this often. The people come in one day and say, you know what? You know the earth is flat? Now, I was asked that question here once in this congregation by a guy who's no longer here. All right, bless his heart. Meant is the way you guys say it. And I joked at the time that if the world was indeed flat, by now, don't you think that cats would have pushed everything off the edge? Because, I mean, to me, I didn't see that as a real, like, the Sabbath is lunar. So first, I don't hear very well. I grew up listening to way too much Led Zeppelin and Leonard Skinner and Black Sabbath. Thank you, Ricky. The rest of you look shocked. You're like... Now I'm spending all my time listening to gangster rap, so it's so much better. It takes me a little while to get back into the swing of things. So when the person first mentioned that to me, I thought she said the loony Sabbath. I said, no, Shabbat is joyful. I wouldn't call it loony. She looked at me and said, no, lunar. There's a new thing every week. The Jews aren't the real Jews. We're a bunch of Khazars from Europe. Do you know what that means, by the way? That means that Hashem, that God himself, has screwed up. He has blessed the wrong group of people, brought them to Israel, showered us with all kinds of blessings. But, someone sitting in, Pocatello, Idaho, or off in the bayou somewhere is born on the bayou. Yeah, they come up with the answer. When the answers are right in front of us, we, the people of Israel, one people living in one land, believing one thing. The Torah, the people of Israel, the land of Israel. It is a three-legged stool. That's us. Now, you're going to say, well, I'm not in Israel yet. Not yet. I am the least patient person I know. Joseph, received promises. And weren't those promises all kept to him? How long did it take? 22 years. Credit to Michael Clayton for pointing that out to me. Now, I'm adding up my chronological age, not my emotional age, which is really, really, I should be on the floor playing with JoJo now. Emotional age 6, yeah, I can, yeah, that's me. 22 years. But we're impatient, because we live in the world where if Chill sends me an email when I'm in Israel, he's saying to Kyle, I sent Hanocha an email an hour ago. He hasn't responded yet. What's up? Forgetting there's an 8-hour time difference, forgetting that I may be... You don't know. Instantaneous. We want it now. We want it now. I saw an ad on TV yesterday. I'm spending my time in the Quality Inn in DeRidder. And I'm watching TV, and there's an Amazon Prime that you can order groceries and have it in 2 hours. What does that mean? You burn the turkey, and you say, no problem, I'll just order another one. 2 hours. I'm kind of old-fashioned. I shop for my groceries. And in Israel, we don't even have good shopping carts. We don't have super... Could lose 5 Israeli supermarkets in one section of Walmart. Come to Israel and do the self-check-in there in Hebrew. Enjoy that. So what do? We focus again on what we're about. We focus on Israel. How do we do that? Well, first of all, who here has been to Israel so far? Okay, by the way, For the rest of the group, the only acceptable answer is not yet. But how do you get there? Oh, I don't mean, you know, you fly to Dallas. No. You have to prepare. Not just psychologically, emotionally, whatever. Cha-ching, cha-ching. It's not cheap. But each and every person here needs to have an Israel fund. I joke about it all the time, but I'm dead serious. A can. Or my dear friends Frank and Gloria Bloomfield in Buda, Texas, had a 5-gallon water jug. And you feed it. Maybe it means you give up some of your tithe to Walmart. They'll survive. If they're not paying their employees' wages, so they'll survive. Don't worry about them. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. It's as simple as that. In some cases, it means that people take some overtime shifts. In some cases, it means they have a yard sale or a garage sale. Some cases, they means, you know what? You hold off on another 6 months on that new GMC truck that you wanted. You know, the really pretty one. The one where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the whatever. You know, and it's funny because I go around and I mention like about buying new cars and new trucks and things, and you know, people squirm a little bit. Guy came over to me last July and said, "Listen, I bought 3 trucks this year." Lord have mercy. You realize you're one person. What do you need 3 trucks for? But you know what? I don't want to be the one judge. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help you. Joe mentioned earlier the Connect to Israel tour that Mike Clayton and I do. We've done 7 of them since 2014. It is a unique tour designed to connect you to the land of Israel, ancient and modern, and to your Jewish brothers and sisters of today. The first 2 days we spend in the biblical heartland, Shomron, Samaria. Our next tour is November 1. Astoundingly, we're not sold out. We're not even halfway booked yet because everyone's got time. Everyone's got time. I meet people, they say, well, you know, yeah, I'd love to go to Israel, but, you know, we're going hiking in Vietnam. That's a thing now, by the way, hiking in Vietnam. If I would have been 2 years older, I was eligible for that all-expense-paid tour of Southeast Asia that the U.S. government was running. It was called the Vietnam War. I would have gotten the uniform, the M16, and I could have gone, you know, hiking all I wanted, like Forrest Gump. Hiking in Vietnam. I meet couples. No. We're going to Hawaii to renew our vows. By the way, they subsequently got divorced a year later. It's true. In Oklahoma. And if Mike Clayton is listening to this, he'll know exactly to whom I'm referring. But what's the real reason that so many people don't want to save and go to Israel? Because ultimately, they really don't like Jews. I'm calling you out right now. Not the people here. No. The people that need to hear my messages are never the ones that come. How do I know this? I can track. This is my 20th trip to America. Since August 2013, I can tell you all the places that wouldn't have me, more than 2/3 of the congregations in this type of congregation, they won't let the Jew walk in the door, or the groups that have had me that won't have me back, like in San Antonio, Texas, like Wally Smith's group in Las Vegas. Heck, even here in Louisiana, in Monroe, they won't have the Jew back. Johnson City, Tennessee, parts of South Carolina, You want me to keep going? It's a very long list. Yeah. Oregon, Salem, our friends out in Salem. It's okay, because we're all being sorted out now. That's what's going on, by the way. This is not a bad news talk. This is actually incredibly exciting, because we get to choose. We, who have been given free will by Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, get to choose. We're either in or out. It's great. So this falling off of the last 3 years is just like, it's like a tree shedding its leaves. And only the ones that are really serious remain, because ultimately, who is Israel in the end days? It's a remnant. 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 That word is over and over and over again. So we need to plan to go to Israel. And we need to go to Israel on the right thing. Our Connect to Israel tour that Mike and I do, it's not your standard go see the holy sites type tour. You know, if you want to go see all kinds of, you know, Catholic sites, heck, you could go to New Orleans during Mardi Gras. What an amazing concept. We don't have Mardi Gras in Israel. What a concept. We're going to be having Lent coming up, and we're going to be asking for forgiveness. So let's cram in as much sin during this time period as possible. What a tremendous religious innovation. We Jews are behind the times. We take this whole repentance thing way too seriously. What else can you do? You can buy Israeli products. While part of the world is trying to boycott, now the European Union is coming up with a list of products made in Judea and Samaria, the biblical heartland, you know, to boycott. Those should be foremost on our lists to buy. Well, how do we get them? Well, there used to be people going around selling Israeli products. They're too busy not. Because who cares about Israel in the end? But there's an organization called Lev HaOlam, Heart of the World. And I'm going to give all this information and suggestions and websites and everything to Joe and Heather, and they'll share it with you guys. You order a monthly box, and it comes. And you know what? What I would suggest is maybe a couple of families join together, or even the congregation as a whole, and they order one or two boxes a month. And you can raffle off the different products that are in it to those who come and who are actual regular participants in this congregation. The congregations need to thrive. We are talking about the restoration of all of Israel, not just a new denomination. But unless there's a place for people to go and fellowship, they're going to fall out even quicker. It's great that people are tuning in and are virtually part of OAM. And I hope that they too will step up to their responsibility and contribute to the ongoing upkeep and care of this congregation, as opposed to let's turn in at 10 o'clock Saturday mornings. It's like I grew up, I used to watch cartoons all the time. I remember Saturday mornings was Underdog. That's why I'm still a little off maturity-wise. This is not your entertainment. Listening to Pastor Joe playing is not what's like, it's the Joe Amon show. No. It is your chance to be involved. This is the way. So it's your congregations. It's your support of it. And it's about learning about Israel. I'm also going to send you guys a website. You know, what's funny is, people say, well, gee, Hanoch, I know you would know, but I didn't want to bother you and send you an email or a message on Facebook. So I didn't know. You know what? Send me a note. Let me be so inundated that I send you a note back saying, gee, I can't respond this week, you know, maybe next week. It doesn't happen. But people do send me saying, I heard that the angel Gabriel was seen on the Mount of Olives. Did you see him? Nah, I think I needed to clean my glasses better. No, I didn't see him. I heard the Dead Sea is coming alive. No, the Dead Sea is shrinking. And there's fresh water coming from the rains in Jerusalem. That's not changing the Dead Sea, though. Oh, well, let's write a news story and say that it is anyway. I'm not wearing a watch. I have no idea of time. I got 30 minutes. Okay, that was the introduction. So let's get started. No, excuse me. The problem with slow-release caffeine is its slow release. I need something to keep... I don't drink coffee. Is that just ringing in my head, or is that the police? Yeah, I keep seeing all these cars from Lake Charles Police. Don't they have, like, Lake Charles to patrol in? This has been a very strange trip to America so far. Shortly after I got here, the news came that Joe and Debbie's daughter was so ill. And, you know, tomorrow, Pastor Joe is driving me to Texas to visit with Joe and Debbie during the Shiva'ah, the 7 days of mourning. I've had a talk canceled in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because there was an ice storm coming. It didn't really ice up, but, I mean, Oklahoma. I guess it could have been a tornado. I guess I got away lucky. But I keep traveling to America. You know, as a tour guide, when I'm not in Israel working and guiding, strangely enough, I'm not getting paid. It took me a while to figure this out. But I come back because I go to many groups of people where I'm the first live Jewish person they've ever met. And I think it's important because we are talking about a family reunion. A family reunion can only be based upon relationships. But I fear we're running out of time. Not for the restoration. The restoration is going to happen. We go back to that phrase of Megillat Esther, the scroll of Esther. You were brought here for a time such as this. But he quickly adds to her, oh, and by the way, if you choose not to opt in, I'm paraphrasing, that's not the direct translation from the Hebrew, no problem, it's going to happen anyway. The people in this movement that are falling away or just sitting scratching their behinds, this is going to pass them by. How do I know this? Because I'm getting nibbles of interest from groups that are not mainstream in this movement. Group in Denver that had a whole conference that said, Chanoch, will you come out to us and speak? This is a group of Ephraimites that is really not connected with the rest of in America. But not just them. My tour guiding business has exploded overnight. My whole world began to change in September 2018, and I began having tons of business. By April 2019, I'm now fully booked 3 to 4 months in advance. Tour guides don't work 5 days a week, which would be Sunday through Thursday. But there's a group, an organization called Tourist Israel, that hired me over the phone. Someone recommended me. They don't even remember who. That does these day tours for a lot of Europeans, people from South America. So these are people in Israel just one day. And almost all of them are, I guess, what you would call lapsed Christians. They're Christians because the parents that raised them were Christian, or their grandparents, but they're not involved in all. And I was wondering, why is it that all of a sudden I'm spending so much time day in and day out with people who have come to Israel primarily because their ticket from Europe was cheap? It was like, should we go to Croatia or Israel? Well, Israel is warmer. And they come to Israel. They know nothing about Israel. I'm the first person that explains to them there's no such thing as Palestine. I'm the first person who explains to them why the state of Israel defends itself. And I'm wondering, what is the reason behind this? And I'm thinking that Hashem is casting the net further because he's not fully satisfied with the response that he's gotten. And it's not going to take another 30, 35 years for these people. It's going to be much quicker. I look at the people that Mike Clayton ministers to. And it's a changing group of people. Why? And what I'm saying to you is, this may be your last series of chances to stand like Avraham, like Abraham did, on the other side with the whole world over there. If not, no problem. I'm not upset. Your choice, free will. Find something else to do with your Saturday mornings. Okay? Go back to eating these crawfish. I pass these places here, you know, like Crawfish Hut or whatever it is. I mean, like, I didn't even know anyone ever thought these were food. I didn't know. I mean, people eat catfish. Okay. You know these have whiskers? Did you ever see that? That's disgusting. Or snails and clams? That's oysters? Yeah. I'm sorry, I thought it was snot. Did he just say that on live camera? Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. I hope you'll forgive me. What I'd like to do is... Let's go off script. Don't be nervous, Heather. It's going to be okay. In for a penny, in for a pound. Let's take some questions. Maybe some of our online folks have some questions. Maybe some of the folks here have some questions.
Explain BDS.
Explain BDS. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. This is a tool of the Jew haters of the world. Now understand something, by the way. There is no such thing as anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, not being anti-Semitic. The hatred that they have is complete. And it's anti-Jew. By the way, you cannot be in this walk and claim to love Jews and have nothing but disdain and disgust for the Judaism that guides our life. Doesn't mean you have to agree. You don't have to agree. But in the same way, I have respect for all of your beliefs, not all of which I understand. But you're my brothers and sisters. Like when Yosef embraced his brothers, he never asked them, hey, y'all believers? He embraced them as is. So Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions is an effort to get Israeli professors barred from world conferences, Israeli products taken off the shelves of supermarkets, etc. They try to stop Israel music, rock groups from coming to Israel. Believe it or not. There was a big thing when the Rolling Stones came a few years ago. The Rolling Stones are ancient. They're long in the tooth, these guys. But no, there was a big thing. They tried to isolate Israel in every way. On college campuses throughout America, the anti-Israel hatred is at a fever pitch. So the key to combat that is to have a boycott. maybe order Israeli products, maybe before the feasts to order Israeli honey or other items. But again, that'll all come through. I'll funnel information. I'll be happy to. Other questions? Yes. I'm sorry? Okay. What happened to... Okay, the question was, I mentioned that Judah was the oldest brother. What happened to Reuven? Okay. If you read in the Tanakh, you'll read that Reuben was reprimanded. He was referred to as Pachas Kamayim, unstable as water. So the birthright was taken away from him. And that's how Judah wound up in his role. Other questions? Coming from the back of the room.
Can you speak about the importance of the temple and its function?
Can I speak about the importance of the temple and its function? Our understanding has been and remains that the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, was the place that Hashem chose to rest his glory on this earth. There is a movement in Israel, a growing movement, to not only rebuild the utensils to be used in the third temple, but to establish Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. It is growing and stronger by the second. The temple, and you know, this is the kind of thing that our dear friend Joe Good can come up here and speak for about 46 hours. The only thing that I wish he would do more of is speak about the current situation on the Temple Mount. But again, you know, during Oneg and our seasoning here, we'll be able to talk about that more. Other questions? Anything online? Okay.
We were talking about how much of Judaism does not accept converts and why that is. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because there tends to be some hurt as to why they don't want us.
Okay.
Can you talk about why that is?
The question is relating to the view within the Jewish world about converts. First of all, I would not say that the majority of Jews don't accept quote-unquote converts. Within the Orthodox community, there is a standard approach of turning a convert away a minimum of 3 times. And that is not because we don't want you in our club. It's a sense of saying, y'all have no idea of the world of hurt that you're letting yourself in for if you become Jewish. The world truly hates us. And you've probably experienced already what it's like when your friends and relatives accuse you of why are you doing all that Jew stuff? That in America is like the biggest diss that you could come up with for someone. So it's not so much that they don't accept. The other thing is, though, Judaism in America or anywhere outside of Israel ain't the same thing as Israel. I don't want to be filmed trashing rabbis in America, but let me put it this way. We have the opportunity in the last 71 years, Jewish people, to gain citizenship to Israel. For someone to make a conscious decision that they're going to live the remaining years of their life, give all of their efforts outside of Israel, I have little to no respect for them. It's as simple as that. There are approximately 4.8 million Jews in America. Approximately 3,500 go on Aliyah, move to Israel every year. And not all of them stay. That is insignificant. Let me give you a statistic by comparison. When the Soviet Union collapsed, 1 million immigrants moved to Israel in a 10-year period of time. In the last 71 years, it's estimated that 100,000 Anglo-speaking Jews, English as a mother language, meaning Americans, Canadians, South Africans, Brits, New Zealand, and Australia. Mostly American, but insignificant. Let me give you another statistic, by the way. There's some people who are saying, by the way, I'm afraid to go to Israel because it's dangerous. You've probably heard that. Let's speak real here. Let's forget that people are being shot down in America every single day. Okay? In the year 2019, there were a number of terrorist incidents in Israel. How many people were killed? Does anyone know? 18 in the entire year. How many people were killed in Israel in 2019 in automobile accidents? 348. There's no comparison between the two numbers, but no one goes to Israel and says, I'm not going to rent a car and I'm not going to go on a bus. Danger is relative. New York City is dangerous. Go to New Orleans and flash a load of cash. See how long it takes before you're robbed. That's here in Louisiana. It's really a relative term. So I don't believe that, but being Jewish is a lot more involved. It's not like changing your hairstyle. It's not like deciding I'm going to wear a kippah and not wear a kippah. And again, as I always joke, we already have enough confused Jews. Hashem is going to bring us all together. How he's going to do that, I don't know. I'm not God. But he's going to do it. He promised. And we either believe in a God who delivers upon his promises, or we do not. None of our friends online are sending in anything. They're afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Yes, please. How is our tour different than any other tour? Thank you. What a great question. It is totally different. Why? First of all, as a tour leader, you've got Mike Clayton. Mike has brought more than, I think, 22 groups to Israel. And he was bringing groups to Israel when the stuff was hitting the fan. Mike has developed such great relationships with people throughout Israel that you really get to know people living in the land. People in Itamar, people in Jerusalem, really getting to know them. With me, you've got Israel's most charming tour guide. Now, I may be an okay public speaker, but I'm an amazing tour guide. Now, I don't have to be humble because none of this is me. This was all given to me by Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. I was the guy in college that would sit across a room an entire semester and make eyes at this girl that I had a crush on, but never, ever have the guts to go and ask for her phone number. So how is it now that I can get up anytime, any day of the night, wake me up, talk about any topic? It's only because he wanted me to. And that's all that it is. The very fact that we spent 2 days in Shomron, in Samaria, at places like Shiloh and Elon Moreh, that normal tour groups just don't go and see. Right. In and of itself, the 2 days alone make it all worth it. Yeah. The time in Jerusalem, and the fact that we, Mike and I, do not do the standard, we're going to take you into a shop, that's a tourist trap, and then we're going to pocket money at the end of the day. We do not do that. That in and out, you have no idea. That is 99.98% of tours. They have a deal, they bring you in, you get, you know, some phony things made in China. They look kind of Judaic. No, we take you to meet the people that we have relationships with. Mike has built up relationships over years with people. You get to meet them, you get to experience it. And you know, I got to tell you something. I used to say to people all the time, you go to Israel and it will change your life. I now borrow a term that I learned from Mike. I told you he was my mentor. If he listens to this ever, he's going to cringe.
He's going to charge you, he said.
He's going to charge me. I thought he already has. Mike was the guy, by the way, I'll get to that point in 1 second, please. Mike was the guy who invited me to come to Franklin, North Carolina to speak. And Mike's wife, Kathy, takes very, very good care of me. However, on my calendar, when I set up the time with Mike, I neglected to remember a very important American holiday that y'all have in February. Super Bowl Sunday. I got to tell you, it's bad enough trying to come to Louisiana, you know, when LSU, you know, are now the national champions. I've been getting death threats. I've been getting death threats from a dear friend of mine, two dear friends of mine in Alabama. Yeah, I still have friends in Alabama. Kind of amazing. Because I gave Joe and my buddy Ross in St. Francisville a little, you know, a thing of LSU that came from Udi Marotz, the blue and white store. He's an artist in Israel. So everything, what are you all pointing at? Oh, those two. That's not an LSU one. Although, do you know what? If you look under the tallit on that soldier, second from the right, the back of his shirt, because I saw when it was being painted, it said LSU Tigers. If you look closely, I think we have a credibility gap. We do not go see all the standard holy sites. As a tour guide with private business, I'd be happy to take you to all, stay an extra day or two, take you to all the churches that you want. We don't go to them because of what we're, you know, everything that you do in Israel, like anywhere else. Like if you're visiting New York City, why? But if you were visiting, every choice you make, we're going to go here, means you don't have the time to go there. So that's what we do. It's designed to connect you to your heritage. So you can better understand, as Mike says, it will define your life.
Okay, couple of questions online. What about Jews who become Christians?
What about Jews who become Christians? You know, I should teach you a little Hebrew while I'm here. My response to that is, no es mi problema. You're laughing. It sounds a little familiar to you? Oh, I'm sorry. You think that's Spanish. That's actually Hebrew. In other words, I have no opinion. It's not my issue. What people do or don't do, I have faith that our Father in heaven is going to sort us all out. I don't care. Let them do or not do whatever they want to do. How many days is our tour? I should know this. It's 12. I think it's 9 full days in the land. 9 days, 10 nights, something like that. Yeah, on the ground. And the 2 days, you know, there are 2 travel days. Unfortunately, there isn't yet direct flights from DeRidder to Israel. Unfortunately. Yes?
Another question from online.
Online question.
How do you see Christians wanting to understand the Torah?
How do I understand Christians wanting to understand the Torah?
That's a
great thing. Hashem is calling all of his people back. Now, I would imagine many of them are currently defined as Christian. You have Christians, hardcore mainstream Christians, studying the Torah. I actually even know a group in this state studying the Torah. I would have thought that that would have happened much sooner in history, because Yeshua was a Jew in the land of Israel speaking Hebrew. There are rumors that he was Cajun. I can neither confirm nor deny that that's true. So to me, it's totally logical that people will be reaching to the Torah of all kinds, all over the world. They won't necessarily be in the inner circle, but certainly in the outer circle.
Miss Priscilla in Canada.
Hey, Pris, what's up?
How to focus on the courage to be blessed.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I distracted myself. We all know, I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. We all know that. And even the most remote from this movement, Christian denominations, believe this. Some are fervently Zionist. By the way, Zionism is not a dirty word. It means the land of Israel belongs to the people of Israel. Boom, drop the mic. That's the whole thing. Nothing dirty about it. Nothing mysterious about it. No cabals or anything like that. But now is the time when you need to exhibit that courage to stand with your Jewish brothers and sisters. Again, not so much for our sake, but for your sake. That's where the courage comes in. I cannot tell you how many people that I know that have dropped this whole thing. I told you, buying Israeli products, advocating for Israel, people that hosted me in small towns, now have nothing to do with Israel at all. People that sold Israeli products, nothing to do with Israel. How can that possibly be? Because it requires courage. It requires courage when people denigrate you and say, why are you hanging around with those Jews? Why are you doing all that Jew stuff? And again, if in your heart of hearts you really don't care for Jews that much, even if you never met them, and you really think that President Trump is like Cyrus of Persia and is going to remake the entire world, I got to tell you, we in Israel are holding our breath, worrying about when that deal of the century drops on our laps. Because Trump is an all or nothing kind of guy. And we believe, based on what we've read, that it calls for the creation of something called a Palestinian state. Now, it's very likely that the other side isn't even going to come to the table. Here it is, Hashem orchestrating us, you know, saving ourselves from ourselves. Because our current prime minister, Netanyahu, has called for the creation of of another state. He denies it, trying to do the moonwalk like Michael Jackson, but, you know, he did. He's not an ideologue. He's an opportunist, a megalomaniac. Yes. Two questions.
Right. I'll put them together.
Okay.
One is, do you believe that the reason for the falling away is truly anti-Semitic spirit? And then the second one kind of goes in that, where exactly do you see the current Hebrew roots movement heading into the future?
Okay. Wow. Saving the best for last. I experience a considerable amount of anti-Semitism from this movement. You will not get a more encouraging view from a Jewish person accepting you as you are. I'm not the only Jew that believes that you're part of Israel. I'm not. I am, however, still the only one that accepts you as you are and doesn't want to make you give up your beliefs in Yeshua, dunk you in a mikveh, and make you a Jew. I'm the only one. After all these years, still crazy, after all these years, yeah. So the congregations that will not allow me in, it's, you know, he's a Jew. He's not what y'all call a believer. Why should we have him speak here? So don't talk to me about the restoration of all of Israel when you've only got one side of the family sitting at the table. You won't find a Jewish person of traditional beliefs more willing to accept you as you are than me. And I proved it over the years. All of those 20 trips here are all self-funded. By the way, people always wonder, you know, those online and those in front of me, well, how can I support you? How can I help you? That's really pretty simple. First of all, your prayers. It's physically demanding. Now, when I'm here in DeRidder, I have the opportunity to get a guest pass at All Hours Fitness. It's a great gym. Man, I am... I'm going to be, really. I came to America not fitting into that seat on LL. And now I don't know where my chest and shoulders are going to be so broad. All this training is great. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. And people, that's the last element of Christianity, by the way, many of the people in this movement hold on to. That, it's still, we got to blame the Jews. We just have to blame the Jews. So that's one element.
State of the movement.
State of confusion. I'm dazed and confused for so long. Yeah. Someone should write a song with those lyrics. Actually, they did. When a conference like Revive, which is the largest Hebrew Roots conference in the entire world, can stage a conference and not say a word about Israel. Now, the exception is they made a boo-boo, I think, the last 2 years. They've allowed Mike Clayton to give a session. Not the general session, God forbid. Mike teaches this, but the movement doesn't. The movement is doing nothing to nurture... Excuse me. The movement is not doing enough to nurture the next generation. Ephraim and Ramona, who are kind of like the grandparents of this movement, who live in Israel. Ramona said a number of years ago, if Israel isn't the focus of this movement, it's just going to be another denomination. And it's great. You guys have a warm environment here. You've got probably the best food that I've ever eaten in an Oneg. Absolutely. You've got lovely people, great feeling of community, but you need to understand that you're part of a bigger thing. Joe, did I cover that?
Yes.
Yes. Was there anything else? We've got two questions here. I'm right-handed, so let's go first. I'm coming to you in a second. Okay, the question is, why is it such a problem with Yeshua being your rabbi? First of all, one of the Hasidic groups that has a rabbi that died, that believes, is a very, very small minority of a minority. Oh, excuse me. The issue isn't Yeshua as your rabbi. It's Yeshua as God in the flesh. That's a whole different thing. But you know what? I don't sweat that at all. Because I know that at the end of days, it's all going to be sorted out for us. So I'm not at all, I have no problem with that. I've studied the New Testament for many years. Things that were taught to me by Eddie Chumney, by Mike Clayton. Matthew 15:24, Yeshua said that he's come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's stating right there who he's coming for. Y'all, so who am I to question that you all are following Yeshua? I mean, duh. I could have had a V8. I mean, it's so... The slow-release caffeine in pure energy sticks has just hit. Your question, please. Brilliant minds think alike. Okay, the other thing is, that actually leads me to a very important point. Don't seek the approval of other people for what you believe. Do not look for other teachers in this movement to validate what you believe in your heart to be true, what resonates. Don't look for Jewish people to say, hey, it's cool that you believe what you believe.
Right.
They're not asking you, hey, is it okay what we believe?
Right.
Who cares? Could you imagine if this was fast-release caffeine? Bam! I am woken up just in time for lunch. Slap your mama. I was given this by Joe and Heather, not this particular one. Okay? There's nothing quite like sitting at a Shabbat table in Modi'in, and I bring this out and put this on the table. People say, slap your mama. Slap your mama. No, it's just, we don't. Culturally, we still have a ways to go to get back together. We know that Cajun culture will predominate in the restoration of all of Israel. I actually was, this is true. I am fascinated with this concept of boudin bowls. So I was reading recipes. Now all it is sausage, other stuff, okay, dipped in egg and deep fried. First of all, by the way, have you noticed you could deep fry just about anything and it tastes great. But in Israel, we can get kosher sausage. So I can cut them up, I can mash them into balls, and I could deep fry them. How many of those I could bring with me to America? I don't know. All of them. I can actually get kosher sausage in New York. The next time... Hey, so Mama Bear, what do you think? We can make some here? Yeah. By the way, a tremendous congratulations, as we say in Hebrew, B'sha'a tova, in a good hour, for Heather's pregnancy. We know that the baby is due July the 12th.
Who said babies?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Alyssa is interrupting me, and she's telling me it's the 11th. Would that happen to be your birthday? How did I guess? Okay. In the spirit of compromise and for the restoration of all of Israel, between the 11th and the 12th, actually, do you know when we would do this? After sundown on the 11th. Okay? So, Ricky. Bless your heart. Anyway, anything else? Good bread, good... Okay, the blessing for food. Very important. Oh, so I wanted to tell you. People say, how can I help you? Just wind me up. Prayer. The other thing is, go to my website, kolyehuda.com, and they'll, you know, it'll on the OAM information, kolyehuda, K-O-L-Y-E-H-U-D-A, kolyehuda.com. All that means is a voice from Judah. By the way, you notice I'm calling it a voice from Judah, not the voice from Judah, the only voice from Judah you should listen to, the only voice from Judah that wants to come to Louisiana. No. There's one of those magical donate buttons. Your help is appreciated. These trips to America ain't cheap. But I am not giving up. I work to support my destiny. My destiny is to help with the restoration of all of Israel. By the way, I tried to run away from that many times. And like Job, I was incredibly successful. Like not. So, oh, one last question.
How have your Jewish brothers and sisters responded to you reaching out to us?
Thank you. Great. How have my Jewish brothers and sisters reacted to my reaching out to all y'all? Great. That's how we say it in Hebrew. What's great is very often in congregations, people will stand up and say, I know you must be horribly persecuted in Israel for your views. So I'm glad that you phrased it in the form of a question. You would have won double jeopardy. As opposed to Alex Trebek saying, oh no, so sorry. I haven't had a single negative word. No one cares. Our side of the family has always lived with disputes and different views. So you could sit and argue a point, And then people say, well, wait a minute, isn't it lunchtime? It doesn't matter. Nobody, I've gotten no criticism. 3 years in a row, we marched in a parade, we, 130 Ephraimites and myself, marched in a parade in Jerusalem on Sukkot. It's called the March of All Nations. Christian Zionists, and we were the first group of Ephraimites, marching behind the banners of United to Restore. I was one of two Hebrew speakers there. Not a single negative comment. No one sat and said, hey, what do y'all believe? No one. It's prophesied that y'all would come back. Okay. The fact that you don't look like what we've been expecting, but guess what? We don't look like what y'all have been expecting either. Just like Joseph. So we're not recognizing each other. Not a single negative comment. No one cares. Okay. Well, thank y'all for coming. I'm going to have to take my seasoning. I should get an endorsement from this. That and Under Armour, don't you think? Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.